One of the great desires, I believe, in the hearts of those who are the redeemed is that Christ would be magnified, whether by life or by death, by our lives, by what we say, what we do, what we speak, and everything in our life, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and magnified, that the character of Christ would be demonstrated through our lives, that the gospel of Christ would be shared with our lips and by the example of our lives. The reason why do we have that desire is because of something that God did on the inside of us whenever He saved us. And that is that God the Holy Spirit, who convicted our hearts of our lostness, God the Holy Spirit, who brought us to the cross of Christ where we arrested all of our faith in Him, the one who wrestled us to the cross and got us to the end of ourself, actually came to live on the inside of us from the moment of our conversion. And some of you, whenever you got saved, you remember the great transition that took place and the wonderful assurance that came into your heart the moment that God saved you. You remember the peace and you remember the love and you remember the joy that came to live on the inside of you when God saved you, and how everything changed. You became a brand new creature in Christ. The reason why is because at our conversion, when God saves us, the Holy Spirit immediately is indwelling us on the inside of our hearts. If anybody doesn't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him, the Bible says they're none of his. That all of God's people are marked by this feature. And that is that all of them, whether it be an elderly person or a young person, whether it be male or female, no matter what their background, nationality, or race may be, everyone who has genuinely turned to Christ and received Him as Lord have so because of the work of the Spirit that brought them to that point. And from that point now, they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is one of the great grand things about being in a right relationship with God in New Covenant, and that is in New Testament. The Holy Spirit indwells all of those who are redeemed. So if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's living in you. And if He's not living on the inside of you, then you are not really saved. You really do not belong to Him. Jesus spoke of it as being born of the Spirit. It's the idea of receiving the life of the Spirit from the moment of your conversion. You have His life now indwelling you because He actually lives on the inside of you. It's an amazing thought, and it's one that you and I must think about. And that is that the God of the universe, the one who came and moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis 1 actually lives on the inside of me. And He actually lives on the inside of you. You're actually indwelt by the God of this universe, the one who created everything around you, including all of humanity, now lives on the inside of you. See, that's what God created you for. And He created you for a relationship with Himself. And that relationship includes His life in you. And that's what took place. That's why the fall, the sin of Adam and Eve, is so significant, because that life was cut off when sin entered into the world. And when you and I get saved, we're reconciled to God. Our sin is forgiven in Christ and removed out of the way in Christ. And you and I are indwelt by the life of God. The life of the Holy Spirit now lives in us, and we are now becoming what it is that God created humanity to be in Christ. God has reconciled all things in Christ. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. And since your conversion, the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. He wants to dominate your life. That is, He wants to control your life from the inside out. He wants to dominate your mind so that you have the mind of Christ. He wants to dominate your hands so that you labor for the Lord and help others along the way. And listen, He wants to dominate every part of your being. He wants to dominate your mouth so instead of corrupt communication, you begin to speak wonderful things about the grace of God and minister grace to hearers who listen to you and edify other people. He wants to control every part of your life. He wants to control your emotions so that you're no longer dominated by anger and other negative emotions that control sinful humanity. He wants to dominate every area of your life. He wants to dominate your relationships. So instead of having relationships that are characterized by wrath and bitterness and clamor and evil speaking, you have relationships that are characterized by tenderheartedness and kindness and forgiveness. He wants to transform every area of your life. And that's the reason why when you get to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, that that this command that was given by Paul to the Ephesians is so important, where he tells us to not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And that is that you and I need to get to know the one who now lives on the inside of us. We need to get to know what it is that he's up to, what his purposes are, what his plans are. We need to get to know what delights him and what it is that causes him to grieve, that is what makes him sad. Grieving the Holy Spirit is the idea of causing sadness and sorrow to the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you of this simple truth, and that is that God the Father can be saddened, and we see that in the Bible. We know that God the Son was also saddened or grieved by those who rejected him and those who were plagued by death at the grave of Lazarus where he wept. But just like God the Father and just like God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is a real person, and he also can be grieved. And when you and I are not experiencing and walking of the new life that he gave us whenever we got saved, when you and I are not being transformed in the areas that the Spirit of God wants to transform us, when we're not being molded into the image of Christ, into the likeness of Jesus, so that the life and love of Christ begins to be demonstrated through us, that grieves the Spirit of God. He is grieved when you and I are not growing. He is grieved when we are not moving in the direction of Christ's likeness in our life. The Spirit of God is grieved. Ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be the desire of every person who's indwelt by the Spirit of God. It ought to be your desire not to do anything that would grieve or quench or would stand in the way of what the Spirit of God is trying to do in your life. The greatest thing that ever happened to you is whenever God saved you and the Spirit of God came and imparted divine life to you. And the greatest thing that continues to happen in your life is when you're dominated, controlled by the one who lives on the inside of your heart. When you let go of control and let him have it and dominate and transform your life is the greatest thing that can happen in your life. Don't do anything, don't be involved in anything that would grieve and quench the work of the Spirit in your life. Now, over the past few services, I've been preaching and speaking about this a little bit. Some of you have been involved in some of those services already. Most of you have been. And you know that I've been focusing in on what I believe are some specific areas in which I believe the Holy Spirit oftentimes, many times, is grieved in our lives. That is, these are areas of our life in which we cause sorrow or grief to the Spirit of God. And I've mentioned many of them to you. Let me remind you of what they are, and then I'm going to get into another area for a few moments this morning. That is, I've talked to you about grieving the Holy Spirit in the area of salvation. The Spirit of God wants to save those who are lost, and when you resist Him, it grieves the Spirit of God. I've spoken to you about grieving the Spirit of God in the area of service. Those of you that are saved, the Holy Spirit has gifted you to serve God, and when you don't serve Him, it grieves the Spirit of God. I've spoken to you about grieving the Spirit of God in the area of sanctification. It's the idea of being made holy. The Spirit of God is trying to make you holy in all the areas of your life, and when you don't cooperate with Him, it grieves the Spirit of God. I've talked to you about grieving the Spirit of God in the area of standing. He's trying to strengthen you so you can stand against the wiles of the devil and against the lust of the flesh and against the pressure of the world. And when you don't stand, it grieves the Spirit of God. I've said to you that we can grieve Him in the area of Scripture. He's trying to grow us in the Word. And when we're not growing in the Word, saturated by the Word, when the Word of God is not alive in us, when there's not a desire to hear the Word above other desires, it grieves the Spirit of God. I've said we can grieve Him in the area of supplication or our prayer life. The Spirit of God wants to teach us how to pray and our prayerlessness. Ladies and gentlemen, our prayerlessness is not just a matter of laziness. It is an area that grieves the Spirit of God. It is much more than what you ever realize. Your prayerlessness can grieve the Spirit of God. He can be grieved in the area of speaking. Ephesians 5, the Bible says, those who are filled with the Spirit of God speak to themselves and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their heart to the Lord, and also with thanksgiving in all things. That is, He wants to dominate our mouth so that you and I learn how to worship. That is, how to speak in a way that is worshipful to the Lord. When you and I don't worship, it grieves the Spirit of God. We grieve Him many times we grieve Him in the area of submission. He's trying to teach us to be submissive to one another, and when we are not, it grieves the Spirit of God. We grieve Him in the area of selflessness. There's a word that describes the selfless character that the Holy Spirit is trying to develop on the inside of us. It is the word love or charity as revealed in the Bible. He's trying to develop in you a selfless person, selfless character that places others ahead of yourself. And when you and I are not selfless but selfish, it grieves the Spirit of God. I'm going to say this to you, children and young people. When you're not submissive to your parents, it grieves the Spirit of God. When wives don't submit themselves to their husbands and husbands don't love their wives and believers at a church don't submit to one another, it grieves the Spirit of God. When you and I are so selfish that we demand our way and refuse to submit and place others first, it grieves the Spirit of God. Are y'all still with me? I've just given you a little quick overview. I believe that one of the areas where the Spirit of God oftentimes is grieved, as well as the ones that I just mentioned to you, is in the area of surrender. As a matter of fact, I believe, and for those of you that haven't been following along, this is new material now. The review is over. I believe that one of the keys to not grieving the Spirit of God, one of the key words is the word surrender. It is the word surrender. The idea of surrendering ourselves to Him. And when you and I are not surrendered, the idea of submission I use with relationship to one another, being submissive to one another. But when I use the word surrender, I'm talking primarily about our relationship to God. And that is that God expects us and His desire for us is to be surrendered to Him. Some of you might remember Romans chapter number 12 where the Bible says that in light of the mercy of God that you and I are to present our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Remember that passage? The idea is that of surrender. It's the idea of sacrifice, of bringing a sacrifice and surrendering it or giving it to God. Even so, you and I ought to bring ourselves, that is our bodies and all that we are and everything that pertains to this life and our experience in this life. And we ought to lay it on the altar and say, God, here I am. I surrender myself to You. That'd be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? Matter of fact, it'd be good if you and I'd find an altar where we could do that. You say, Pastor, what are we going to do? Have Brother Greg build us all an altar where we can get up there and lay on it? Well, listen, you can just find a place where you can get alone with God at your house or right here in the church and just get before God and begin to surrender yourself to Him. Some of you have taken control of your life. And that is, you're living your life the way you want to live it. You're living it according to the reason, that is your own reason. You're living it according to tradition, that which has been handed down to us. And you're making decisions based on human reason and human tradition instead of surrendering yourself to God and saying, God, this is Your life, and I just want to hear from You and follow You and yield myself and surrender myself to You. And listen to me now, that kind of lifestyle, a lifestyle that centers just around human reason and human tradition instead of being surrendered to God is a lifestyle that grieves the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God is trying to move you in the direction of daily surrendering yourself to God. That is, of getting alone with Him and saying, God, I surrender to You today. I surrender myself and all that I am. That is my body. God, my eyes I give to You so that I look at those things that You want me to look at and not those things that grieve You. And my ears I surrender to You so that I listen to those things that glorify You and that I need to listen to You, and those things that are done, that I won't listen to those kinds of things so that I don't grieve You. And God, I give You my hands. I want to do those things that glorify You and help me not to do those things that grieve You. And I could just keep going on, could I not? And that is, God, I give You my heart, my inner man, my soul, so that I feel love and joy and peace and those things that are like Christ and not those things that grieve the Spirit of God, not controlled by jealousy and bitterness and envy on the inside. I'm talking to you about surrender. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and I are going to live out the kind of lifestyle that does not grieve the Spirit of God, it must be a life of surrender. When you and I pick up a hymn book and we start singing songs like, I surrender all. The reason why we sing songs like that is because that's exactly what the Bible demands, does it not? And that is that you and I surrender all. You say, Pastor, I surrender a little. I said, I surrender all. That is, Brother Greg hasn't changed the words of the song. When we sing it, we don't sing, I surrender a little. Listen, what we do is we sing, I surrender all. And the reason why is because Jesus said that if a man is not willing to forsake everything, he cannot be His disciple. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's got to be a life of full surrender. God, here I am. And here's everything that is attached to my life. Everything that I am and everything attached to my life. And I surrender all of that to You. I surrender everything. Now, if you're anything like me, I found out that not only do I have to surrender everything, but I got to keep on surrendering everything. Amen. And I got to get to that altar just about every day, amen, and just get surrendered to God and say, God, here I am. I know that I've tried to take control of this area of my life just a little bit, and I need to get it surrendered back to you. Full surrender. Listen to me now. The victorious Christian life, that is the life that is filled and dominated by the Spirit of God, is a surrendered life. It is not a life that you're in control of. It's not a life that you're making the decisions about. But it is a life that is fully abandoned to Him, and that you're listening to Him and following after Him, a surrendered life. Let me flesh this out just a little bit, and that is, when we're talking about the idea of surrender, one of the areas that I'm speaking of is surrender to the voice of the Spirit. Surrender to the voice of the Spirit. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean the Holy Spirit of God is speaking. Now, the Holy Spirit of God does not have a body like you and I have with a literal voice box, but He speaks much louder than any person could ever speak. And you and I, when we're surrendered, it means being surrendered to the voice of the Holy Spirit. For example, let me just read you a couple of verses from John chapter number 16 to sort of set the stage. The scene here is the upper room. Jesus is with His disciples for the final time. He's going to go out to the Garden of Gethsemane in just a little while. And it is there that Judas Iscariot is going to lead those leaders, Jewish leaders, and probably Romans as well. And they're going to arrest our Lord in the garden. And our Lord is with His disciples. Judas is already gone. The 11 are still there. And He's teaching them about the days ahead. And He's teaching them what it's going to be like after He's gone and the Holy Spirit comes. And in John chapter number 16, He tells them in verse number 12, He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. There are many things that's got to be said, but you can't hear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Listen to this. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He... Anybody see the next word? The Holy Spirit. Brother, He is speaking. That's right. Jesus said that He's going to come. I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be here to speak to you. Jesus had a physical body with a literal voice box that they could hear Him speak. But I tell you, the Spirit of God is still the one who's speaking. The Spirit of God is going to come. And He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to reveal to you and speak to you. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what He is doing. Listen to me. The Spirit of God is speaking. He is speaking. And when I'm talking about a life of surrender, I'm talking about a life of surrender to what it is that He's saying. That is, to the voice of the Spirit. That is, when we're talking about the voice of the Spirit, we're talking about what it is that He's saying to us. And you and I are saying, God, I want to hear that. I want to hear what it is that You are saying. Surrendering ourselves to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus emphasized this in His last revelation to the churches in the book of Revelation. Remember when Jesus sent the revelation to the seven churches? The book of Revelation, that He had a message for each one of those seven churches? And we find that in each one of those particular messages, there is a common feature that is found throughout those messages. Notice with me in Revelation chapter 2 for just a moment and you'll see it. Revelation chapter number 2. After He revealed the message to the church at Ephesus, Jesus said in verse number 7, chapter 2, Revelation, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's what Jesus said. If you got a red letter Bible, that's in red, isn't it? Jesus said, let him that hath ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen. Hey, you got ears, don't you? Then you better be listening. Hey, the Spirit of God is speaking. And you need to be listening what it is that He is saying. You say, well, what is He saying? What is revealed right here in Revelation 2 verses 1 through 7. It is the Spirit of God who has revealed this. And we need to listen to what He is saying to the churches. That's not the only place. Look at verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse number 17 of that same chapter, Revelation 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse number 29 of Revelation chapter number 2. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at chapter number 3 and verse number 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse number 13, listen to what it says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And if that's not enough, the last verse in chapter number 3, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To each one of those seven churches, our Lord revealed a specific message to them, and then he told them, you need to be listening. If you've got ears, you need to be listening what the Spirit of God is saying to you, the church. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what you and I need to be doing as well. You need to be listening to what the Spirit of God is saying. Listen to what he's saying. It's more important to hear what the Spirit of God is saying than anybody else around you. That's right. Some of you here, and you're kind of like me, you like watching the news, and all of a sudden now they know how to play us, you know. All of a sudden now they come on with this flashing news story, right? Breaking news. Now, it's probably not really anything too breaking, but it sounds like something is really going to be reported. Something is breaking. It's going to change the world. And all of a sudden, you stop and you start listening to what that report is all about. How many of you do that? I thought there'd be a few of you. Some of you just not going to admit it right now. Yeah, you do that. Whatever it is, you just stop and you listen. And for just a moment to find out what it is, it's important to hear what it is that that news report is about. Some of you, you know, you like sports, and all of a sudden now you're watching your sports channel, and all of a sudden they break in with some news. Somebody traded somebody for somebody or something like that, but it's breaking news. And you stop whatever you're doing to hear what it is that is being said. Some of you are kind of like others who have little children, and it's not what's said, it's when you don't hear anything at all that you stop and take notice. Amen. Those of you that have little kids. Yeah. What I'm trying to get you to see is that you and I oftentimes we stop and we listen. But I tell you that none of those things are nearly as important as listening to the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, sometimes in most homes there is just that level of speaking that gets everybody's attention, right? Some of you teenagers that are here, you know that whenever your mom or your dad has that certain tone in their voice and they say your name, I'm not talking about sweetheart or honey, but they say your name. And when they say your name, they say your full name. I mean, not the whole thing, not the nickname, the full name and the middle name is in there. And you know when you hear your full name and that certain tone of voice, you start listening. And you start paying attention because you know that something is about to be said that you really want to hear and you really want to comply with. I'm going to say to you that somebody is speaking that is more important than mom or dad. Some of you husbands are that way. I mean, your wife knows how to get your attention, doesn't she? She says your name. I mean, your name. And again, it's that tone of voice. Jeffrey William. Yeah. It's a different tone than that, but it's real. And by the way, it's our anniversary today. I don't know how happy he's going to be after this. Folks, listen to me. For 35 years, I've been hearing Jeffrey William. Amen. And when she gets to that point, I know that it's time to stop watching the news. It's time to put my Bible and my books down and listen to what it is that this little lady has to say. Amen. Well, I'm going to say to you that listen to me now. With all due respect for the importance of marriage and parenting, it's even more important for you and I to listen to the Holy Spirit, to hear what he's saying. And when we don't, it grieves him. How many of you parents, you know how it is, and you're trying to get your kids' attention, you're trying to get them to listen to you, and they're watching TV and not hearing a word you say, and you get grieved, don't you? You're trying to talk to them, and they're not listening. How grieving is that, right? And some of you wives, you're trying to speak to your husbands, and maybe you're like my wife, she's trying to talk to me, and I'm reading and I'm studying and not listening very well to what it is that she's saying, and I know that must grieve her. when I do that? When we don't listen very well. Especially whenever she asks me a question about what she just said and I can't answer it. It's not that I don't love her, I'm just not very smart. Yeah. Just not listening. And it grieves, doesn't it? How much more so the Holy Spirit when He's speaking and He's speaking and He's speaking and we're not listening? You say, Pastor, I don't understand. What do you mean? How it is that the Holy Spirit is speaking? Well, I'm going to say to you that He speaks with words. And the words that I'm talking about are the words of Scripture. And that is that this book is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God moved upon the Old Testament saints and prophets according to the writings of Peter. He moved upon them so that what they gave us is indeed the Word of God. Listen, this book has been divinely inspired. It's been given to us by the Spirit of God. This is His revelation, the revelation of God's Spirit to us. And when you and I don't pick up the Bible, we don't read it, we don't care enough to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's speaking through this book. And when you and I don't read it or we don't study it, or you and I have the opportunity to hear it and we don't take advantage of that, it grieves the Spirit of God. That is, God may be getting ready, God the Holy Spirit may be getting ready to say something to you, and either you may not be listening or you may not be present to hear it. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? It may be that God, the Holy Spirit, listen, when I'm preaching and teaching and when other preachers teach, as well, I assume anyway, that the Spirit of God is giving us what it is that He wants us to preach and the passages that He wants us to use. And it may be that God is wanting to give you the answer to your question, the direction for your life. He's wanting to speak to you, speak to you, speak to you, and you're not there to hear. That's the reason why that it's so important for you to be where you're supposed to be when God's speaking. Amen? Yeah. I mean, when God's people meet for church, you ought to be there. For Bible study, you ought to be there. To hear, God may be, that may be, listen, that message may be exactly what God has designed for you to hear. You ought to be reading this book and you ought to be listening to it. You ought to study yourself and listen to being taught. Because that's how God speaks. That's how the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks in words. And those words come through Scripture. Not only through words, but He also speaks through witness. The witness of His saints. The words of Scripture and the witness of His saints. God, the Holy Spirit, is living on the inside of people. And oftentimes God speaks through those people that He's living on the inside of. It may be through a pastor who preaches a message. It may be through a Bible study leader who's leading a Bible study. It may just be the saints of God as they're visiting and fellowshipping with one another that the Holy Spirit uses those saints to speak to one another. You say, I wish the Spirit of God would speak to me. I mean, like maybe the leaves falling off of a tree, and on that leaf there's God's message to me. Listen, you'll never hear the Spirit of God as you listen to the leaves as they fall from the trees. You see, I've been waiting for God to just maybe align some clouds up in the sky, and maybe they'll, you know, maybe it'll just God will speak to the clouds. You'll never hear the Spirit of God. He's not going to speak to you through the clouds. The Spirit of God operates and speaks through the Word. And through His witnesses. That's how He operates and that's how He speaks. And listen, if you want to hear from God, that's where you got to listen. And it's so important for you and I, if we're going to be surrendered to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is, God, I want to hear from You. Some of you here and your wives, I get so frustrated with my husband. He will not listen. How do you think God the Holy Spirit feels when you're not listening? Some of you that are parents, you get so frustrated with your kids when they will not listen. How does God the Holy Spirit feel when you will not listen to Him? The same way. He is grieved. Some of you kids are frustrated with your parents because you're trying to get through to them and explain to them, and they will not listen to you and how you feel. How do you think the Spirit of God feels when you won't listen to Him when it comes time to hear the Word of God and you don't even want to be there? It grieves Him that you won't listen to His voice and surrender to what it is that He's saying. I'm trying to get a point across to you, and that is that if you and I are not going to grieve the Spirit of God, then we've got to surrender to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Another aspect of this that I want to call your attention to, and I won't be able to deal with all of them this morning, but not only am I talking about surrendering to the voice of the Spirit, but also surrendering to the call of the Spirit. You see, as you and I listen to the Holy Spirit, He begins to call us. He begins to call us. We see that example throughout the Bible. For example, in Acts chapter number 13, you'll notice this. In Acts chapter number 13, this is the passage of Scripture where Paul and Barnabas are in the city of Antioch, and they've been there for a while. People are getting saved like crazy in Antioch. I mean, spiritual awakening has hit that place. And Barnabas was sent there by the church at Jerusalem, and he's been there ministering. And after about a little while, he goes and he finds Saul of Tarsus and brings him there. And they've been ministering and teaching to those folks, and God is doing a great work. And listen to what happens in Acts 13, where the Bible says, beginning of verse number 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul," that is Saul from Tarsus, who became Paul. Listen to verse 2. Isn't this interesting? "And as they ministered to the Lord," and the idea seems to be that they're worshiping the Lord and they fasted. The Bible says as they were doing that, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, said. Yeah. He's speaking. And apparently, they're where they're supposed to be so they can hear. Now I wonder what would have happened in that circumstance if maybe one of these guys, let's just use Saul or Paul, we know him very well. I wonder what would happen if Saul would have said, "Well, I'd like to go down there and meet with those believers and worship and get together and pray and fast. I'd like to do that. But man, I got some shopping to do today. I've been busy all week long. You know, at church we've had Bible school. So I'm not going to, guys, I'm not going to make it today. I've got some shopping to do. Hey, today's Sunday. The games are on. Right? And by the way, the family's meeting down there under the shade tree. We're going to get together and eat hot dogs. Right? I'd like to hear from God, but the hot dogs are on. Right? I'd like to get together with you and maybe hear what God is saying to us and pray and fast and seek after God, but and there's these other things I've got to do. The yard's been growing. It's got to be mowed. We all know about that kind of stuff, don't we? I don't know what all went on in this time period, but ladies and gentlemen, these men were together. They were ministering. They were praying. They were fasting in the right place at the right time where they were supposed to be. And God, the Holy Spirit, spoke. Notice what he said. He said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. The Holy Spirit said, "There's two men among you, and that is Saul and Barnabas, and I've set them apart for a special work, and I want you to set them apart for that work." They prayed over them. They did exactly what the Spirit of God said. They prayed over them. And ladies and gentlemen, the first missionary journey began. The first missionary journey that led to the second and the third missionary journeys you read about in the book of Acts began with the call of the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit was speaking, and He called these two men to serve in a particular area. You know what happens when you get to listen to the Spirit of God? When the Spirit of God starts speaking and you start listening to the voice of the Spirit, before long you begin to sense His direction in your life. Amen. He begins to call you, doesn't He? He begins to call you to serve in specific areas. He begins to call you to follow in certain areas of your life. Maybe He calls you to repent of a sin that you've got in your life, or He calls you to start serving in an area of your life, but you begin to sense the call or the drawing work of the Holy Spirit in your particular life. And listen to me now, when the Spirit of God is speaking and when He is calling, if you and I are not going to grieve Him, then we need to be listening and following the call of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is that He's saying, whatever direction He's leading, that we need to go in that direction. I love it in Acts chapter number 10, just a couple of chapters earlier. The featured person there is Peter. And we find that Peter himself also was called by the Holy Spirit. You might remember that Peter was up on the rooftop and he was praying. Went up on the rooftop and he began to pray. And as he was praying, he had this vision. And it was a vision of all of these animals in this net that was coming down. And some of them were clean, some were unclean. And in the vision, he was supposed to rise up and kill and eat all of those animals. And he protested and said, I can't because some of them are unclean. Remember, God said, you don't call unclean what it is that I have cleansed. And he was preparing him to go to the Gentiles with the gospel message to the household of Cornelius. Well, the Bible says in verse 19 of this chapter, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said. He's speaking. And here's what he said, behold, three men seek thee. These three men happen to be men that Cornelius has sent to find him. He said, they're seeking you. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now I want you to picture this and put yourself in his position. Here you are now. You've been alone with God. You've been praying and God's given you this vision and you're still trying to figure out this vision. And all of a sudden, three men knock at your door. If you were at home and three men knocked at your door that you've never seen before and said, I want you to go with me, what would you do? I don't know about you, but I would say, I don't think so. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know you, and I'm not, yes, no, you don't know me, but go ahead, and it's all right, you can go ahead and come with us. Listen, folks, I'm not going to do that, and neither would you. But Peter did. You know the reason why he did? Is because he'd been listening to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God said, when those three guys get there, you get up and go with them. And do you know that because he listened to the Spirit of God, the call of the Spirit, and obeyed, the Spirit of God said, don't doubt anything. Because see, he knew Peter was like us. And Peter would have said, who are you? Why should I go with you? He would have wanted to have known. He would have doubted. He said, don't doubt anything. The Spirit of God said, don't doubt, just go with these three men. And do you know that Peter embarked on what may be the second most important event of his life? The first event being that is since Christ was resurrected, the first event being preaching that message on the day of Pentecost when the gospel opened up to the Jewish world. Now the second most important event, he's about ready to go and open up the door of the gospel to the Gentile world. And you know the reason why that he went there? Folks, the reason why is because the Spirit of God spoke to him and he listened to the Holy Spirit and obeyed what the Spirit of God said. He obeyed the call of the Holy Spirit in his life. And as a result, the gospel was opened to an entire race of people as a result. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. What if Peter would have said, you know what, Lord, I'd like to go with those three men that you said I need to get up and go with, but I've got other things to do. I've been sitting here trying to get my nap, and it was interrupted by this vision. I need to go ahead and sleep a little bit longer. I'm just too tired. Amen. Yeah. Well, he could have said that, couldn't he? But you know what would have happened? It would have grieved the Spirit of God if he had. He could have made up any excuse that you can think of. And it would have grieved the Spirit of God. And listen, when you and I don't listen to the voice of the Spirit and surrender to the call of the Spirit, it grieves him, just like it would have if Peter would have done that. Listen, God the Holy Spirit is speaking. He's calling. He wants to use you just like he used Peter. Maybe not in the same way, but in a similar manner. He wants to use you to share the gospel. He wants you to use you to glorify Christ. He wants to use you to serve in the areas in which he's gifted you and equipped you to do. And when you and I aren't listening to the voice of the Spirit, don't surrender to his voice and don't surrender to his call whenever we hear. When we don't do that, when we don't obey him, it grieves the Spirit of God. So here's what I'm trying to say. If you're not going to grieve the Spirit of God, the key word is surrender. Surrender to the voice of the Spirit. Surrender to the call of the Spirit. Listen to what he's saying, and whatever he says, surrender to what he is telling you to do, to his call on your life. That's the key. And when you don't, it grieves the Spirit of God. it grieves Him. Listen, God, the Holy Spirit, has great things in mind for your life. The ideal life for you to live is the life that is filled and dominated, controlled, and led by the Holy Spirit. Anything short of that, listen, is going to be wasted time for your life. You need to hear from Him. You need to listen to Him. You need to surrender to what He's saying and to the call on your life. And if you will, you'll discover the very best life that God has planned for you is the life of following the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't grieve Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we thank You for what You're trying to say to us and how You're trying to operate in our lives. And I pray, Father, that You'd open our ears, our spiritual ears, so that we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us as Your people. Pray for those that are lost. You draw those individuals to Yourself. Bring them to the end of themselves. God, to that point of brokenness over sin and surrender to Christ and His cross and His resurrection. God, thank You for what You're saying to us. Would You help us in this moment? God, there's areas that You want us to repent of, that You're trying to correct in our lives. Would You teach us? Help us to hear Your voice and what You're saying to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.